Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
We are going to talk to author William Hazelgrove, who is on the phone now. Good evening, William. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Glad that you're back. Gotta say. The book is Morristown, The Darkest Winter of the Revolutionary War and the Plot to Kidnap George Washington. So, golly, where do we begin?
Right?
Well, first of all, let's talk about the weather. Not today, sure. But then.
Yeah. Oh, 1779 was the worst winter ever in within a century. And as you know from reading the book, this will factor very much in to the plot to kidnap George Washington, because this winter descends, awful, just blizzard after blizzard, but the temperatures plummet to unheard of levels. And what happens? The Hudson River freezes. Well, it never happens before. So this moat, if you will, that basically protected Washington, because he's up in New Jersey in winter camp, and the British are in New York. Well, this moat suddenly becomes a bridge, and this allows this incredible story to take place of the kidnap of George Washington.
It was frozen to the extent that it could carry and handle the weight of cannon, horse, foot soldiers, yeah. But it also obviously went both ways, since the British could come one way. If Washington wanted to go the other, all that needed to get on the Hudson and cross it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And and just to paint the picture, Washington's gone to winter camp. This is the low point of the Revolution. What was your Valley Forge? That was the low point. But the real low point was Morristown. The army is coming apart. Desertion. There's absolutely no food. They haven't been paid. There's a lot of disgruntlement in the ranks, because the farmers around Morristown, which is this small village, all have food, and they know it, but it gets worse. They won't give it to the troops because they want to sell it to the British, who will pay in hard currency, because American currency is worthless at this point. So really what's happening is you have this army that's falling apart from disease, from desertion. Also, too, this is something that a lot of people don't realize. The war dragged on a long time by now, and a lot of people thought the Americans were going to lose. And so people started taking sides, betting on who was going to win and who was going to lose. And, really the British and the Americans at this point were like two punch-drunk fighters in the 10th round, trying to see who's going to survive.
And there was a significant level of British loyalists amongst the American population.
Oh, yeah. If half the people were for separating, that would be generous.
Right.
Most people thought, we should have just stayed with England and worked it out, gotten a little independence, but stayed with Britain. And here's another player that, as you know from the book, is going to come in. Is Benedict Arnold.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so all right, while the British are planning to kidnap Washington, we can talk about that whole plan. Benedict Arnold, who is a general, one of Washington's generals, has had enough. He's been wounded in the left leg 3 times. He can barely walk. He's married a socialite, a woman who demands a high lifestyle. He has no money. And so he decides, with his wife Peggy, that, to heck with it. The Americans are going to lose. Let's give them West Point on the Hudson, the fort, and for $20,000, and then we'll leave and go to Britain. And, Benedict Arnold, of course, was horrible, but a lot of people were thinking that way at this point, that the Americans were going to lose.
And, as I read your book, the idea of kidnapping was a thing. It was like an accepted
practice.
Yeah, if you want to kidnap, it's not just kidnap George Washington. Let's go kidnap a British general. Let's go kidnap Martha Washington. I mean, It was just like, hey, kidnappers, let's go.
It was accepted. It was sort of taking your king off the chessboard, if you will. And you're right on both sides. In fact, you brought up Martha. There was a serious plot to have a boat go down the Potomac, go up to Mount Vernon, grab Martha Washington, take her, and then make the Americans sue for peace, essentially holding her for ransom. And on the American side, there was plots to kidnap British generals. And, of course, there was a plot to assassinate Washington a few years before in New York that almost came off. So you know, you weren't, when you kidnapped, according to the rules of that time, you weren't supposed to kill your victim.
Right.
But if it happened, it happened. So, you know, in Washington's case, he's up there in Morristown. Now, Morristown is surrounded by all this snow. So Washington feels pretty safe. But he's getting letters from people, you know, saying, hey, we think they're going to try and kidnap you. We think there could be an extradition. And Washington, who's, okay, so I'll paint this picture. Washington's staying in the Ford Mansion. All right. Now, 3 miles away are his main body of his troops. So he's separated from his troops. The British know this. So all Washington has is the lifeguard. Now, what's the lifeguard? It's his secret service, right? They're like a small contingent of guys who Washington has handpicked who are supposed to protect him. So Washington says, you know what, don't worry about it. I've got the lifeguard. I'm going to be safe.
And?
So then what happens? All right, so there's a guy named General Simcoe.
Yeah.
Now, General Simcoe is a British general. And he gets, by the way, he doesn't even believe in the whole American cause thing. He thinks it's a bunch of rabble that should be put down.
Yeah.
So he gets captured by the Americans. And he gets thrown into prison with some drunks and things like that. And he's a British officer, and he is offended.
Because?
He likes Washington.
Because he's in there with the rabble. He doesn't have his own kidnapping suite.
That's exactly right. He tells Washington, listen, I'm a British general or officer, and you're treating me horribly. you know, exchange me. So they're like, okay, we'll exchange you. Let's see, you're equal about four privates. He goes, no, exchange me for somebody of my rank. So he's just, you know, to the board, he's like, treat me well. Well, anyway, they finally exchange him, but he's mad. He's got a vendetta against Washington now. So when the Hudson freezes, he goes down to it, looks across, realizes that he can cross this. Now, he's head of what's called the Queen's Rangers. And the Queen's Rangers would be the equivalent of our SEAL Team 6 or something now, okay? Mm-hmm. They can ride fast. They can fire from their horses. They don't have short carbines. And so he hatches a plan to cross the Hudson, gallop 30 miles up to where Washington's sleeping. Now, he knows from spies Washington is on the second floor in the back bedroom sleeping with Martha. His plan is to get off the horses, go in there with wearing moccasins for stealth, kill a few of the lifeguards, you know, who are in his way, grab Washington in his bedclothes, throw him on a horse, and then gallop back across the Hudson River as fast as he can before the Americans know what hit him.
And you talk about guards, and if I remember correctly, by the way, we are talking to William Hazelgrove, who is the author of Morristown, The Darkest Winter of the Revolutionary War, and The Plot to Kidnap George Washington. And I found, amongst many unbelievable, fascinating items in the book, William, the idea of guard duty. And if I've got this right, to go on guard duty, you had to walk 10 miles. You stayed at that position for 2 days until somebody else came 10 miles and relieved you. Now, this is in the middle of the worst winter that has ever happened on the East Coast of the United States. We've got snow up to, you name it, plus wind, plus wind chill. And these guys have to, I don't think they could ride a horse, could they, because of the condition of the depth of the snow, but somehow they had to go 10 miles.
Right. A lot of them froze to death.
Oh my God.
It just happened all the time. And, you know, to add to that hardship, these guys are not in Arctic gear. They're what's called homespun. Well, what's homespun? It's a shirt they wear that goes down to their knees. And after that, they'd wrap themselves in blankets. And then they'd trudge through this, you know, waist-deep snow to their guard duty. And many times, again, they would just freeze to death there. And then they'd come back. Okay, so in Washington's army, is in log huts. They built what's called Log City. And it's just 1,000 of these little log huts, about 6 men to a hut. And in this smoky, dark hell, they endure this winter without food, you know, with unable to get out and get food, disease, pestilence. It's terrible. And so, yes, even during all this, they have to go out and, you know, before it's even light, and, you know, go out, parade, mm-hmm. and then go off to guard duty.
We're going to do more about this fantastic and very interesting topic with author William Hazelgrove and his book, Morristown, The Darkest Winter of the Revolutionary War and the Plot to Kidnap George Washington. William, there's a bunch of stuff I want to get in here while we still got time.
Sure.
You know, war is hell. Everybody knows that. Every war the United States has been in, there are atrocities, living conditions that are just unacceptable. But if you want to talk about some real unacceptable conditions to fight a war in, this is it. This is the worst winter ever. You know, there aren't heaters, there aren't furnaces, there's only fireplaces, if you got that. These troops are suffering to the extent that some of them, as you describe in your book, for food, are trying to soften shoe leather and eat it, which I was just like, oh my gosh. And they're basically not clothed. I mean, you were talking about the type of cloth that they had, and some of them don't have shoes, and it's just boggling to my mind that. And it's a credit to the soldiers in the Continental Army that they put up with that crap. I mean,
it's amazing that they didn't leave. And, you know, a lot of the diaries left behind, they wrote about that.
Yeah.
And, one private said, I don't know why we didn't leave. I think it was for the cause.
Yeah.
You know, that was really, or for each other. And then, of course, what happened during that winter was there was a mutiny. And this is something that we don't hear about because we always hear about Valley Forge and, you know, how the Army came back from that. But in Morristown, the Army had had enough. And what did they do? They all came out of their huts and started parading around. And the officers ordered them back in, and they didn't stop. They just kept going. They were going to head off for a town. And it took Washington to confront them and say, look, we're going to get you some food. He said, but I want you to know this is not for us. This is for the unborn millions yet to come. And he said, you know, this is bigger than us. This is for those not yet born. And they went back. And they got him some food to kind of get him over the hump there. But it's really, that's why when the British were talking about kidnapping Washington, their theory was, you get Washington, the game's over.
Right.
The revolution. And they were right. Washington was the spiritual leader of the American Revolution.
The thing is, though, reading in your book, all these Continental foot soldiers are starving, but Washington and the officers are having a party.
Yes.
How is that possible?
Well, at this time, John, there was this division between the enlisted man and the officer corps, and that was accepted by people that the officers would live differently. And so Washington was up at the Ford Mansion. He was there, you know, they had food, they were able to have great dinners, and yet his men are in these log huts starving. And this was just part of this class distinction that went all the way through. Now, saying that, Washington had his own problems, which might seem minor in comparison, but, you know, he was working 12 hours a day. He was, constantly trying to get, you know, food for the troops. He
right.
finally had to confiscate the food from the surrounding farms because they had food. They just wouldn't give it to the troops.
But how could the officers rationalize what they were doing compared to the enlisted men? I mean, they're literally living high off the hog. They're having dances, parties. They're they're relatively warm. They're well-fed, well-clothed. And then just right outside the door, these people are eating their shoes and dying.
Yeah. It's a division that we don't have in the American Army anymore. But
yeah.
In those days, the officer corps lived entirely different. Now, you know, saying that, that's one reason everybody wanted to get into the military, because in a way, the military was your best chance to advance in society, to get honor, to get glory. But if you didn't make it out of that sort of foot soldier category, then you were subject to all the hardships that these soldiers, you know, in Morristown in 1779 were suffering from.
Right. And, you know, we've got a couple of minutes left, and obviously George Washington was not kidnapped. We all know that because we won the war. But there were other items in the book. The beginning of, how do I put this, disappearing ink.
You're talking about Benedict Arnold. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Benedict Arnold is going to give the fort to the British, he and his wife, and they basically use disappearing ink in documents to tell the British what they're going to do. Their plot is only done in by a British general named Andre, who was trying to sneak back with documents that Benedict Arnold gave him. He's caught by the Americans, and they find in the sole of his boot these documents, and they hang him. And Benedict Arnold, he slips away once the plot's up and Washington finds out. He takes off, and in a bit of revenge, Washington tries to have him kidnapped from New York, but fails, and Benedict Arnold slips off to Britain.
Man, disappearing ink. I thought I was watching I thought I was watching an episode of The Lone Ranger. Well, William, thank you so much for being on with us again. I got to tell you, if you're interested in American history, if you're interested in the military and how service to our country gave us our freedom and what people had to put up with to do it, we've just scratched the surface in this conversation, I'm telling you.
Yeah. And I just let your listeners know, John, I'll be at Barnes & Noble in Bolingbrook this Saturday signing copies.
What time?
11 to 4.
There you go. All right. Thank you. Thank you so much for being with us. Have a great night. That's William Hazelgrove. This book is called Morristown, The Darkest Winter of the Revolutionary War and the Plot to Kidnap George Washington.